with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back, you're listening to Grilling Guys. Happy New Year. We are live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And first show, the Winter Smoke Show of 2020. 2020, Bob, here we go. Going to have crystal clear vision on how to get your smoking done. So what are you thinking now, man?
Welcome to the new Roaring 20s.
Right. Right. We're going to make it happen. A roaring fire.
So fast and furious versus low and slow. Fast and furious is a fast way of smoking, barbecuing. Low and slow is the traditional, old school, original barbecue. You have resorted to Fast and Furious a few times.
I have, out of necessity more than anything. And the first time I did it, I was very apprehensive because I didn't know what the result was going to be. But I'll share just it's not even an anecdotal story. It's a real deal, is that I had a cook to go to, right? Somebody had hired me to come out and cater their party. And I was working, getting all the food together, and, you know, they want it delivered at a certain time, so you do that. And you look up, and I've got an hour and 20 minutes before I need to leave, and my pork butts, which I bring to 195 on the smoker, are sitting at 165. And I know to myself, there's no way they're going to come up that last 30 degrees in the hour that I have to have before I can pack them and go. Mm-hmm. So I pull them out of the oven, or pull them out of the smoker. They're wrapped now, because we wrap at about 150. When I say wrap, put foil around them, seal them up.
But when you wrapped them, you already knew it wasn't going to make it.
Right, yeah. I mean, because of the timing, right. But, you're hopeful, right? Throw some more coal on the smoker and see if you can get it going.
Yeah, I think we're stupid sometimes, too.
Yeah, right. So you come to that realization point where it's like, crap, this isn't going to be done in time.
I knew it.
Right. So you pull them out, and I had four of them, and I put them in the oven. Well, mistake number one is they hydrate the fat. What's the word?
Renders.
Renders, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. And so I made a bloody mess in my oven because I slid them on the grates.
Oh, you're kidding.
And they punctured holes.
You knew better than that.
Right. Well, I was hurrying, right?
Yeah, cookie sheet, buddy.
Right, yeah. So
with edges.
Right. Yeah, so the next time, that's exactly what it was, only I just used the regular chafer pan that had like a 3-inch edge all
even better yet.
Right. So I put them in there, and I jacked the oven to 400 degrees. Even though it's low and slow, I had them in there. They'd got the smoke on them. I wrapped them. I was just waiting for them to finish. So at that point, I put them in the oven at 400, but I took my remote thermometer and stuck it in the biggest one, right, because I wanted to get them to that 195 that I like to pull the pork off. And so I did that, and they made it. They made it in that hour at a 400-degree oven because it just was the boost they needed for the hour to get there. But that was – I mean, every pork butt I've ever done is low and slow. Mm-hmm. But if you get in a jam – The work had been done by the smoker in that once the meat hits 140, 145, it stops taking smoke anyway. So there's really no reason for it to be in there other than the fire's hot and you got the time. Well, I didn't have the time, so I pulled it out. And it worked. And since then, if people want their food at an odd time.
You see it coming in
advance.
Right,
but even if people want their food at an odd time, I'll factor that in and plan to throw it in there.
Yeah,
for an hour, just so I don't have to.
Yeah, or start it that much earlier.
Right, and that's where
and
I'm
that's
at.
That's the trick. And when you have old school smokers like you and I,
right,
where you're loading charcoal,
right,
and you're doing all this manual stuff, that causes a problem. And I'll tell you exactly how that bit me. For I had two Christmas parties to cook for, Maureen's family and my family. So Friday night, you know, everybody's showing up. We call it the pre-party. So I've got 30, 40 people showing up to the house for the pre-party. And, you know, I got to go out and start my smoker. I had everything all ready. All I really had to do was throw the meat on. But in hindsight, I would have been way better off doing that Friday, throwing it in my coolers and just parking it.
Right.
Instead of trying to time it. Because what happened was I lit my fires at midnight. I woke up at 5 in the morning, reloaded, and then went back to sleep. And I overcooked my brisket. I wasn't happy. The temperature ran away from me.
Okay. In the smoker.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm trimming the edges off. I hate trimming off brisket.
Right.
It's still, people loved it.
Well, it's burnt ends, right? Yeah, you were making that.
I wasn't happy with it at all.
Come on, roll with that. You were making burnt ends. That's what you're trying to do, right?
Indirectly. Yeah. I was not happy with it. So, but what I should have done it all in advance. It's just, you know, I don't know. I worry about it being too old, and I don't know why.
Right.
It never is.
Right.
But so back to your thing, I had that same scenario, only it was like somebody said, well, you know, you have to, oh, my wife said, well, you know, you have to bring barbecue, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, because we're leaving in like 5 hours or 6 hours.
Right.
And she goes, yeah, you're doing barbecue. I'm like, that's not how this works.
Right.
So I sent the boys down to Meijer to grab a couple butts, and I boned them and cut them in half, rubbed them the way you would typically a butt, but now I've got four small pieces, and I put some smoke to them for about an hour, and then I jacked them up for 3 or 4 hours. I'm going to say they were probably the best butts I've ever done.
Really?
And here's why. Because I had more surface.
More
seasoning.
I had
more bark.
Right.
And seasoning. And I'm not so sure that that's not the best way to do butts in the future.
Well, you know what? You try it, right?
I did. And it was so good. I mean, people were ranting and raving about it. It's like, I was afraid I screwed it up.
Did you ever wrap them? I mean, did you wrap the four pieces? Or did you leave them just on the smoker until they got finished?
I did have to wrap them in the end to hydrate them.
Right.
And to finish them.
Right.
Because I was jacking it up, and I didn't want to make the bark too dark.
Yeah. See, now, I cook my butts with the fat side down. That's just the way I prefer to do it. And I don't season that fat side because when they're done, it creates a little lubrication on the grate so they don't stick.
Right.
That's the first thing.
Right.
And the second thing is I don't want that mixed into my meat, whatever didn't render off,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'll pull that off there, flip that with that fat side up now as they're sitting in the pan, and I just take my oven glove, right, and I just scrape that right off into my hand and throw it in the trash.
Right.
But there's still plenty of the inner fat that's in there.
And there's a little bit of meat when you do take that fat cap off.
Yes.
So You're trying not to waste too much of it, but I do the same thing.
Yeah, I just don't want it in the mix of that. And when you broke it into those four pieces, I think that'd be even easier to do, just pop that off there real
quick.
Well,
I don't recall. I only did it once. I just know that what I ended up with was a much more manageable piece of meat that was done in like 4 hours.
Right.
And it was wonderful. And I didn't end up looking the fool. Could if you rush a job like that.
Yeah, yeah. So just a little tip there is that try it low and slow. That's traditional. That's where we do it. But if you get in a jam, I think that once you've got some smoke flavor on it from the coal or your smoking wood or whatever you're using, the rest of it's just heat.
So cut that thing in half.
Right.
Or at least split it open and butterfly it.
See, I always buy the boneless ones, and that's why I do that. But I tell you, I'm kind of contradicting myself because I open them up and season them all. They're boneless pork shoulders, but then I put it back together when I smoke it with that fat cap down. So I'm not getting bark all over it just on the outside, but
so
I try just cut it in half.
So try not putting it back together.
Right. It takes up a lot of smoker space, but I got that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting.
Yeah, you get a lot of bark that way. And I'm not a big fan of pork shoulder anymore. I'm sick of it.
Right.
So, but what I do love is pulling a fresh piece off the smoker and grabbing a piece of that bark and walking into the house.
Oh, yeah.
Sucking it down.
Yeah.
It's so good. Just like fresh brisket.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't wait till it gets tender enough to break a chunk off.
Oh, yeah.
And that goes usually, back to my college days of making bacon for Vandenbrinks.
Right.
And we would drop a ham or a side of bacon, and we'd tear at it because we're college kids.
Generally, when I'm hitting the 140 on the internal 145 when I'm going to wrap it, the outer edge has got some of it that's done.
Yeah, so you can have a little
chunk. Oh, yeah, yeah. I always have a snack when I do that. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to talk some rib variations and a few other things. So you're not going to want to miss this. Stick with us. We'll be back.